This is Only a Kiss by Upon a Painted Ocean, a BBC Merlin fanfic. It is rated for general audiences and no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships Gwen/Lancelot/Arthur Pendragon, Gwen/Lancelot, Lancelot/Arthur Pendragon, and Gwen/Arthur Pendragon. Additional tags include Shade Lancelot, Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Season 4, Episode 9, Lancelot Dulac, Episode Fix It, Lancelot Lives, Angst with a Happy Ending, Mild Hurt Comfort, Hurt Lancelot, Established Relationship, True Love's Kisses, Fluff and Angst, and Lancelot is Saved Through the Power of Twoo Wub's Kiss and Morgana Going WTF Ew. Summary. Lancelot is returned to Camelot, but something's not right. Gwen and Arthur are determined to get to the bottom of what. Morgana did not factor this into her dastardly plans. Merlin would just like to sleep. For the first time in his life, Arthur found a joust struggling to keep his attention. He fixed his eyes resolutely on the wheeling horses, determined to give his knights and their visiting competitors their due attention, and found himself bored. His gaze kept straying to the stands of spectators instead, or rather, to the royal box and his fiancée, his intended, his betrothed. Which was why, when Gwen's mouth suddenly dropped open like a landed guppy, and she dropped the ribboned ring the mysterious late-entry competitor had just presented her with, Arthur had no idea of what had shocked her so until he turned to scan the tournament ground before the royal stand and saw a sight that had haunted his dreams for weeks, but he'd never dared hope to see again in his waking moments. The knight, whose helmet revealed a painfully familiar head of dark hair, turned slightly in the saddle, and Arthur's own face surely went as comically slack as Gwen's before splitting into a disbelieving grin. Lancelot sat armored for the joust astride a charger, dark gaze just as breathtakingly intense as ever as he raised his visor in salute. And oh, how desperately they'd missed it. Arthur was halfway towards scrambling over the festooned rail that divided the lists before a hand on the back of his armor brought him up short, and he restrained himself with great effort in the face of such a public audience. He could practically sense Gwen trembling with emotion even across the tourney ground from her, even as she resumed her own studied mask of courtly grace. The other knights were under no such constraint, or restrained by Merlin's surprisingly strong grip, and Percival all but tackled Lancelot from the saddle when he turned and saw the face of his fellow competitor. By the way, Lancelot flinched at this sudden assault of enthusiasm. He hadn't been expecting quite such a demonstrative greeting. With quite such a public display unavailable to him, Arthur turned instead to Merlin as the closest available servant. See that Sir Lancelot's chambers are... No, right, they're Sir Harcourt's now. Have a set of guest chambers made ready. Arthur could barely gather coherent words as Lancelot stood right there, mere yards away across the tournament grounds. Merlin, used to parsing through a stream of consciousness of often contradicting orders, sighed. If you'll recall, all the guest chambers are already full. I've had to deal with late arrivals kicking up a fuss over being forced to camp beside the tourney grounds all morning. Should I evict one of the lords currently staying in one? He asked, sounding perhaps a tad too eager at the prospect. This point gave Arthur momentary pause, and he was briefly tempted to ignore the interkingdom incident it would cause to set Merlin loose upon some unsuspecting lord in the choicest guest suite, but a better solution was at hand. One he had no right to be jealous of, just he'd be willing in this moment to renounce his kingdom and trade places with Merlin, if it meant being a servant who was practically expected to share his room without anyone thinking twice. Of course not, Merlin, Arthur declared. He'll share your room. He has before. You'll be able to do so much catching up, said wistfully. You can go fetch extra blankets or whatever you need to do, and while you're at it, form the kitchens will be having a small welcome home feast as well. Merlin gave a signaturely sarcastic bow, but his words were genuine. For Lancelot? Anything. I'll even go fetch your personal duvet and feather pillows for him to use. Arthur was too distracted to even swat at him for his cheek. Merlin hastened off, and Arthur forced himself to keep a sedate pace as he crossed the tilting ground to formally welcome and congratulate Lancelot. The gaggle of incredulous knights around him gave way at Arthur's approach, and Lancelot stood stiffly with his helmet under one arm. His hand was warm, even through the glove, as he proffered it to Arthur. So he was real, then. "Sir Lancelot, it is a pleasure to see you again so unexpectedly." Arthur clasped Lancelot's forearm for perhaps a hair longer than was strictly formal, and in lieu of an embrace, clapped his shoulder heartily. "And to welcome you back to Camelot." Arthur turned to also address the crowd, who cheered, with some confusion. Lancelot gave nothing but a courtly inclination of his head in return. He'd always been the better of them at concealing his passions from public view, whether through caution or long habit. All Arthur could do was turn sharply on his heel and stride away before he lost his own composure. Gwen had done the same, all but dashing down from the royal box to meet Arthur at the foot of the steps. Arthur offered her his arm, and they made their way back to the castle, both too shocked for conversation. It was a nerve-wracking wait, burning with questions, until evening, and even then it brought little relief. Even with the unparalleled joy of the roundtable members in attendance, there was a dampening effect produced by Agravain's presence. Arthur kept catching himself staring too long at Lancelot without hearing a word the man actually said, and having to repeatedly hide his soppy grins behind the rim of his wine goblet. When he glanced to his right, Gwen was experiencing much the same. She caught Arthur's eyes over the rim of her goblet, her eyes clearly revealing her own hidden smile. Pleased and amazed was the least of what Arthur wished he could tell Lancelot, but anything more would have to wait until later. Agravain looked sour enough when Arthur and Gwen clasped hands beside their plates. He'd likely have a conniption if he knew they were both pretending it was Lancelot's hand they held. Finally, when all the appropriate toasts had been made, Gwen looked at Arthur, and by mutual unspoken agreement, they rose to make their good nights and retire for the night. If they just so happened to do so just as Lancelot was also leaving the hall, there was nothing for Agravain to see in such a natural coincidence. They walked casually beside Lancelot until they reached a particularly deep alcove, favored spot for inconspicuous rendezvous, and buttonholed him aside. "Lancelot, wait," Arthur tried not to sound too commanding. Gwen spoke more diffidently. "We wondered if you would come share a drink and conversation with us before retiring." Even in the confines of the alcove, Lancelot managed to stand a respectful distance away, not even stepping closer when Arthur beckoned. He gave the briefest of pauses. Arthur's heart leapt at the thought this strange facade of reticence might break. Then the next word was forced almost distastefully from Lancelot's lips. "Majesty, require my presence." Arthur tried not to show his disappointed eagerness, though he felt as crestfallen as Gwen looked. "No, we would never require it of you. You know that." Gwen spoke softly. "We understand you must be exhausted after the events of the day. Of course there will be time in the coming days for continued reunions." She smiled at Lancelot as she took Arthur's hand. "For now, we hope you sleep well on your first night home." It must have been a trick of the flickering torchlight that didn't fully reach this clandestine corner, but as Lancelot gave a minute bow and turned away into the corridor, his face seemed twisted in an odd expression of almost distaste. The stark shadows that danced across the walls were here, rendered even the flat tapestry strange and leaping, a unicorn transformed into a snarling beast, and a griffin looking more like a mild palfrey. Gwen shook her head to clear such fanciful notions from it. Evidently Lancelot was not the only one tired by the day's events. She allowed herself a faint sigh of disappointment, and turned to say her own goodnight to Arthur, exchanging a tender kiss, which turned to another, and another less chaste, before they stepped back into the light of the corridor. Arthur walked Gwen to the wicket gate to the lower town, where they said a final goodnight before parting ways. Their conversation had turned back to their mutual preoccupation as they walked, voicing more of the half-formed thoughts. "Didn't he seem... do you suppose... why wouldn't he..." Neither felt quite settled in their thoughts as they parted, and both spent a long while laying awake in their respective beds, mulling over the strange events of the day. When Merlin answered the insistent knocking at Gaius's door the next morning, it was to the unusual sight of Arthur, fully attired for the day, but neither scowling at the concept of mornings, nor demanding to know why Merlin was late. In fact, it was still at least half an hour before Merlin would normally roust him out of bed. And Gwen was standing with him, even though she'd yet to move back into the castle, and could be reasonably be expected to still be found in her own house, in her own bed, asleep at this hour, as Merlin would like to be. "Is Lancelot here?" Gwen asked, and Merlin shook his head. "No, he went off somewhere at at the crack of dawn," he yawned. "Why are you here?" "For the delight of your company, of course," said Arthur, rushing past Merlin into the physician's chambers. Gwen smiled apologetically. "We wanted to ask your opinion on something best handled quietly. Could we come in?" Merlin glanced back at where Arthur was already making himself at home, poking at the porridge hanging above the hearth, and sighed. "By all means. Breakfast?" When they were all seated around the table, two with steaming bowls of porridge, Arthur's with a considerable amount of honey added, Merlin again looked between them expectantly for an explanation. Both of them sported tired shadows under their eyes. "Well, what necessitated the early wake-up call?" Gwen twisted the hem of her shawl and bit her lip. Arthur spoke first. "Did Lancelot seem himself last night?" "Why?" Gwen reached across the table to press the back of Merlin's hand in a gesture of comfort. "It's a difficult prospect to consider." She pressed a fist to her lips as her voice hitched. "This doesn't seem like the Lancelot we knew. As much as we hope." Another determinedly controlled, trembling breath, and Arthur wrapped his arm more tightly about her shoulders over her shawl. "His return may be too good to be true." "Something's wrong with him. There must be some trick," said Arthur bluntly. "I know." Merlin turned his hand to grasp Gwen's fingers to return her comforting squeeze. How do you know?" Merlin babbled slightly. "No particular. He said a few strange things is all. There seemed to be odd gaps in his memories, which may be perfectly normal for coming back from the dead. I certainly wouldn't know, not having come back from the dead myself, I mean." "No, even I might have noticed that," said Arthur with an eye roll. He quickly sobered again. "What are we to do about this not Lancelot, though? My uncle would have me..." Gwen's voice was firm as an anvil strike. "No, whatever counsel your uncle gives, we shall not listen to him on this." Arthur's jaw took on a resolute set. "No, you're right." His gaze softened as he looked to Gwen. "His reservations regarding you are unfounded. Why should I give any more weight to his opinion of Lancelot?" Merlin coughed mildly to remind them of his continued presence. "Let's keep an eye on him and give him a few days to settle in. I can consult some of Gaius's medical books to see if they've anything to say about similar cases." "Similar cases to coming back from the supposed dead?" Arthur voiced his skepticism. "Yes, well, no, well, cases involving traumatic events and missing memories and changed personalities and that sort of thing," Merlin hedged. "Well, I'll keep an eye on him. Inform me if he has any more lapses in memory or if he says anything more about how he came to return." The proposed holding pattern continued into the final day of the tournament. Gwen slipped into Arthur's tent to find him tightening his right gauntlet. "Let me help with that." She deftly fastened the tricky buckle. "Lancelot said I should wish my future husband well." Arthur looked almost painfully hopeful, like a dog faced with a piece of cheese just out of reach. "You've spoken with him, then?" Gwen displayed the silver bangle that contrasted prettily against her dress. "I've just come from his tent. He let me help in arming him, which is more than he's done so far. He visited me earlier, too, and even gave me this gift as a token of his affection, and wished both of us joy of our engagement." Arthur stepped closer to examine the bracelet, cradling it and Gwen's wrist as though the silver were a piece of Lancelot. "But," and her joy dimmed, "it's almost as though he's courting me anew. His giving me an engagement gift and kissing my forehead was very sweet, but that's all he did. As careful as we were in public, Lancelot's never had any trouble demonstrating his affection for either of us in private once we convinced him he really could do so with both of us. Poor man craves hugs. At least..." Gwen trailed a finger across the bracelet. "He did before." Arthur folded himself around her back, carefully because of his armor, reaching around to also caress the bracelet Lancelot had gifted Gwen as he held her. We'll figure this out. Maybe not all of his memories returned with him. Or perhaps Lancelot is simply overwhelmed by being back in Camelot and needs more time to acclimate again. I hope so. He may be back, but I miss him more than ever. Before leaving to take her place in the royal box, Gwen paused at the door flap to kiss Arthur, pouring all the confused longing welling inside her into a deep, lasting kiss, the only of her partners she was able to. They both were panting slightly by the time they broke apart, Arthur wearing a slightly dazed expression. For luck. For you both, she said. For all three of us, she thought, sitting alone in the crowd in the royal box. Watching the joust, first Leon tumbling from his horse, and then Arthur being injured, and Lancelot still acting so strangely inanimate, Gwen considered it lucky she didn't bite her nails, else they'd have been gnawed to the quick with fretting. As soon as it was seemly to do so, she fled the stands for the arming tents, where she found Arthur bare to the waist with an impressively blossoming bruise darkening his side, and Gaius prodding at the worst of the discoloration. He beamed at her, still flushed with adrenaline, and seemingly oblivious to any discomfort Gaius's ministrations were surely exacerbating. Guinevere, did you see the final joust? That was some excellent riding on Lancelot's part, and it's likely been months since he last rode a joust. He's always had a natural talent for knightly skills. Arthur was especially effusive in the one area he'd never been censured for showing admiration of other men on, and doubly so if the man so praised also happened to be a love of his life. Gwen couldn't help but smile a little despite herself at his enthusiasm and the praise he was heaping upon their love. I did. I've just come from seeing Leon. He's fine, if a bit bruised. Ellion's still teasing him for going overboard with a full somersault. You and he are both going to have to admit at some point that he'll never be able to bring himself to hit you properly in a joust. He has enough trouble just riding training ones against you for fear of hurting you, Arthur. The array of bruises currently decorating his torso somewhat dampened the effectiveness of Arthur's protests that Leon had nothing to worry about. Gwen winced in sympathy. His examination complete, Gaius made to take his leave before he was subjected to any more love-struck rhapsodizing. Nothing's broken. I'll leave some arnica for the bruising. A splinter of the lance was caught between the plate and mail, which is what made riding so painful, but it didn't pierce the chain. Altogether luckier than you should expect playing your war games. He left to attend to other patients. Arthur twisted awkwardly in an attempt to see the full extent of his bruises without the aid of a mirror. Is Lancelot's rekindled interest in you a sign of him being more himself again, do you think? He asked. Gwen picked up the jar of arnica paste as well as a fresh tunic for Arthur, and helped him apply the salve to the harder-to-reach sections of bruising before he pulled on the clean tunic. Perhaps. His restraint in yielding the bout was typically noble of him. But no more than any knight reluctant to seem unsporting against an injured opponent. Even if he recalls his love for me, he seems entirely indifferent to you as anything more than his liege. Arthur nuzzled his face into Gwen's unbound curls. His voice was sure, though tight with pain, and not all of it physical. I'll content myself with being his liege for now, if his heart lies wholly with you. I'd rather one of us be able to return his love than neither of us. Gwen sighed sadly. Would you visit his tent again? Convey both our congratulations. Gwen kissed his forehead. Of course. Arthur linked their fingers and brushed a kiss across Gwen's knuckles. And give him that from me, even if you can't say it is. Gwen squeezed his hand in promise. Decking out of Arthur's tent for yet another clandestine visit to Lancelot's, Gwen spotted Merlin lurking nearby, obviously waiting for one of them to exit. She ducked behind the aid tent to join him. Any news? Merlin said with no preamble. Lancelot's shown more attention toward me, though he's strangely formal in his approaches. Still acting very oddly toward Arthur, with scarcely a sign of their former rapport. She turned the bracelet round on her wrist again. Have you any idea yet of why he might be so affected? Merlin looked haunted. I might, though I hope I'm wrong. Give me tonight to do some more research, and we can meet in Gaius's chambers again tomorrow morning. It was definitely not yet morning when something pulled Arthur from sleep. His ribs ached a little, but not enough to have woken him. There had been a noise. He lay tensed and still, one hand itching for the grip of a dagger hilt as he listened.
Arthur,
his uncle stepped from the shadows.
There's something you must see. Couldn't wait until morning?
Arthur stumbled into his boots and pulled a doublet over his nightshirt.
What's so urgent for you to wake me?
His uncle simply led him through the halls without explanation until they reached the council chambers. Arthur's breath caught at the sight that was revealed as they stepped through the side door. Guinevere and Lancelot stood limned in moonlight, twined together as they kissed.
A gifted bracelet and now a moonlit tryst? Seemed more like their romantic Lancelot.
Arthur lingered a moment in the shadows to simply watch,
his heart surging with hope, forgetting even that it was his uncle who had summoned him and was even now standing in a deeper patch of shadows behind him. His only thought was for the sight before him.
As delightful a sight as it was, Arthur wanted even more to be a part of it, and so stepped into the pool of moonlight in which Guinevere and Lancelot embraced. Gwen caught sight of him first over Lancelot's shoulder, eyes shining with unfettered joy. In his hesitation, she reached a hand to Arthur and reeled him into the circle. Gwen tilted her head aside to allow Arthur to lean in and kiss Lancelot, his eyes still closed, met him halfway, and then, finally, his lips met Arthur's. Arthur gasped into Lancelot's kiss and pressed tremblingly closer into their embrace. Their singular moment of bliss was abruptly ended, however, when Lancelot jerked back from the kiss with a strangled breath like the last gasp of a drowning man, and a glazed, stunned look that sharpened into awareness, only for Lancelot's eyes to roll back. Arthur found himself with an armful of limp, unconscious knight as Lancelot fainted into his and Gwen's embrace. Their hands still twined through Lancelot's hair, Gwen caught his lolling head and shoulders to support them, and between their joint efforts, she and Arthur managed to keep Lancelot from falling to the floor too precipitously, despite their surprise. Gwen ended up halfway beneath Lancelot's dead. She shuddered to think the word again. Wait, his upper body cradled in her lap. Arthur knelt beside them, expression stricken, hands frantically ghosting over Lancelot to feel for breath, a pulse, anything.
Oh gods, what did I do? Lancelot, I didn't mean... Is it that bad of a kiss? What do we...
Gwen caught his hand and pressed his fingers to where the pulse beat strongly and steady in Lancelot's wrist.
He's only fainted, though I don't know why.
Merlin chose that moment to make a suitably dramatic entrance, out of breath and with half-dried blood streaking a tacky line down one side of his face, which only added to the chaos.
Don't hurt him!
Arthur looked up at him like he'd grown a second head.
Why on earth would we? He didn't do anything. He just collapsed. We have to help him.
It was Morgana who brought Lancelot back from beyond the veil. She's had his body under her control all this time as a shade in order to carry out some plot on her behalf.
Appalled stares met this statement. As if to back up Merlin's assertion, Lancelot flailed awake with a look of pure terror.
Get back. Don't touch me. You can't let me hurt you. Please, stay back.
He warded them off with a badly trembling arm as he scrabbled backwards on the floor, falling repeatedly with how violently he was shaking.
I'm not myself. Morgana, she did something. Please, she wants to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. I can't.
He was sobbing, not even seeing the three stricken faces that reached out for him. He fumbled as the sword from his belt, unwittingly cutting himself as his hand slid on the blade, and cast it as far from him as his trembling arms would allow, still mumbling, please. The guards that had trailed Agravain into the gallery and had, until now, stood by on the periphery awaiting directions, surged forward when Lancelot's hand went to the blade, their own swords drawn. A scrape of steel focused Lancelot's attention, and he threw himself toward the advancing blades, heedless of the horrified cries behind him.
Lancelot, no, all right. Stop!
As desperately as he'd thrown himself from Gwen and Arthur's embrace, Lancelot crawled toward the advancing guards until he lay limp at sword point, heaving chest pressed to bared steel. He turned his pleading gaze to Merlin.
You have to stop her. Stop me, please.
Merlin placed a restraining hand on Arthur's chest and took a cautious step forward, empty hands spread before him to avoid spooking the already confused armed guards. Gwen was not to be withheld, however, and leapt to place herself between Lancelot and the guards. She scooped his discarded sword from the floor and assumed a snarling defensive stance over Lancelot, as he curled into a distressed ball at her feet. The guard stepped back in the face of her expression alone. He stood fully down at Arthur's bellowed command, pitched more for the battlefield than a night-darkened gallery. Lancelot just fisted his hands in his hair and didn't move from his disconsolate huddle.
Merlin knelt before the trembling knight.
Lancelot, can you look at us?
Lancelot reluctantly uncurled, sat up to look at Merlin obediently, not quite meeting his eyes, though. Merlin continued in the same low tone.
You're all right. Morgana was using you, or your body at least, as part of her plans. She's relinquished her hold on you now.
How do you know? You shouldn't trust, not any longer, especially not you and your...
Merlin gave a small, serious smile at that.
Ah, that's how I know I can, if you remember that. Listen to me now, and trust what I say is true. Morgana no longer holds sway over you, body or soul. Do you recall the Madavi?
The what? Who?
Merlin's smile grew. I thought not. What about Kilgara?
Lancelot managed the ghost of a smile at that.
Vividly.
Merlin squeezed Lancelot's shoulder. Neither of those are answers the shade would give.
Merlin beckoned Gwen and Arthur closer.
Would you ever do anything to harm either Gwen or Arthur? Merlin asked.
Lancelot shook his head frantically.
And why not?
Because I love them, Lancelot murmured, as though it were some terrible admission coming from his lips.
Neither Arthur nor Gwen could speak.
Merlin asked again for them.
Both of them, as you would a sweetheart?
Lancelot nodded and reached for Arthur and Gwen's hands. They clutched him close as Lancelot did the same in return, their words tumbling over each other in a litany of,
You're safe.
Really
You're
home.
We missed you terribly.
Eventually, they looked back to Merlin with further questions in their eyes.
But then how was it my kiss that brought him back to himself? Arthur asked.
Merlin prepared to expound. We think Morgana must not have trusted entirely to the Shade's will-bound instructions and maintained some measure of connection through which she could monitor its progress. Since the Shade's actions would imply Morgana never knew of Lancelot's true relationship with either of you, we can only assume your kiss was a shocking enough revelation, broke not only her concentration, but her entire hold over Lancelot. There is a test to make entirely sure, but it really does seem...
Arthur interrupted Merlin in his flow of exposition. Face slowly screwed up in disgust.
So then, when I kissed Lancelot, I was also kissing part of...
Merlin patted his shoulder in a sympathetic there-there motion.
Probably not. More likely, it was through some sort of scrying that she was observing, and able to direct the shade through the link. Actual possession would be beyond her powers, I hope.
As do I, protested Arthur with a shudder.
He pressed another kiss to the hand he held of Lancelot's, as if to wipe the idea from his lips.
There was a faintly strangled noise from the shadows. Gwen glanced up and finally noticed Lord Agravain stood with a poleaxed expression and appeared to be suffering a conniption at the sight of them. Which meant that particular cat was well and truly out of the bag, then. But in the moment, Gwen really couldn't find it in herself to care. Although, it's why the man should happen to also be skulking about the corridors at such an hour. She turned to her beloved and betrothed.
Arthur, why is your uncle here? He's gone a rather alarming shade of puce.
Arthur startled self-consciously, though he didn't relinquish Lancelot's hand. In all the commotion, he'd evidently forgotten about Agravain entirely.
Not entirely. He knew, somehow, that you'd both be here.
A long-suffering sigh came from Merlin.
He's in league with Morgana, he said exasperatedly. It was his intent for you to see your fiancé in the arms of your most noble knight and, I don't know, fly into a murderous, jealous rage? Something equally melodramatic?
He closed his eyes. Do you suppose we could resolve this somewhere more comfortable than in the stone floor of a drafty gallery? I have a headache coming from being knocked unconscious. And Lancelot's only just come back to life. Or soul. Or something.
Gwen waved a couple of the still awkwardly bystanding guards over and instructed them to place Agravain in the dungeons, to be dealt with at some later date and more sensible hour. Arthur was still too hung up on the, my uncle conspired with my sister to ruin my life, again, and that of both my loves as well, concept, to offer any further input. But what else was my sister hoping to achieve with her scheme? She didn't even attempt to kill me, which is unlike her. It had the perfect opportunity at the joust, even. Arthur said, pressing a hand to his bruised ribs.
To see Gwen in disgrace and banishment? Make you more reliant on your uncle and less susceptible to her influence? Discrediting Lancelot's memory would have only been a bonus in her eyes.
Merlin supposed. Banish Guinevere? I could never. Besides, think Elion would murder me first. Leon might even try to usurp me.
Gwen didn't deny the likelihood.
The guards departed, leading an unresisting Lord Agravain with them. Alone in the gallery at the departure of their aghast audience, Arthur, Gwen, and Lancelot made their ungainly way to their collective feet and followed Merlin's lead out of the gallery in the opposite direction toward Gaius's rooms. Merlin bustled into the physician's chambers with the trio in his wake. If you could fetch a sachet of that tea over there, he directed Gwen and Arthur with a vague wave. Lance, come here. You look like you're about to keel over again. Shepherded Lancelot towards the stairs, deliberately guiding him through the chalk diagram that remained on the floor. Nothing happened.
Was anything supposed to... Lance whispered.
Nope, not if you're you. At that, Lancelot really did sag. It was just as well Merlin had already guided him almost to the stairs as his knees went weak with relief. Giving him a moment to collect himself, Merlin gave the back of his neck a brief fond squeeze and turned to busily gather supplies at random while Lancelot gathered a few deep breaths.
Merlin shoved a last bundle of miscellaneous herbs into his satchel, quaffed down a vial of faintly violet potion, and turned to his waiting companions with a bright look.
There. I've got everything we'll need, and it seems officially clear that this is really the real Lancelot, body and soul.
Your test was conclusive, then. Gwen looked to where Lancelot sat in a tired slump on the stairs to Merlin's room, cast a suitably dubious glance at the innocuous chalk lines at the base of the stairs.
There wasn't any I saw.
Oh, yes, didn't you notice? None of the castle cats we passed on the way here had any issue with Lancelot. Cats notoriously hate the undead. It hiss and spit something awful at a shade. The only issue Lance had was nearly tripping over that one that tried to rub up against his ankles.
Thoroughly satisfied with only half listening to the rest of Merlin's explanation, once he'd heard the operative words, real Lancelot, Arthur was already chivying the soporific man in question into motion, eager to get back to the privacy of the royal bedchambers. He held Lancelot close to his side, delighting in the way Lancelot now leaned into the arm that held him, and even dared pressing a kiss to the side of his head before they re-entered the, admittedly, sparsely populated at this time of night, but still public corridors. Progress of the little huddled group through the halls was slow and somewhat wavering, all of them tired and wrung out, one mildly concussed, and one still reeling, newly having regained conscious control of his own body. They made it to Arthur's rooms with only a couple collisions with the walls and one ill-placed decorative suit of armor. Merlin sent a guard off with a set of whispered instructions, while Gwen and Arthur manhandled Lancelot inside, into the bed, where all three more or less collapsed onto the edge of the mattress. Merlin joined them momentarily, flopping face down across the end of the bed. Eventually, Arthur roused himself with a groan, slid down to kneel on the floor to remove Lancelot's boots. Lancelot made a faint noise of protest at being so served, but Gwen pressed a kiss to his throat. "Let us tend you tonight." Arthur stood and dropped another kiss at the hinge of his jaw. "We need to reassure ourselves of your return." Lancelot let out a trembling breath and clutched at the hem of Arthur's shirt to ensure he wouldn't step away. I need to as well. His voice was scarce more than a whisper, eyes downcast and head bowed as though in supplication. "Still doesn't quite feel real." Arthur gently raised Lancelot's head with a knuckle beneath his chin to meet his gaze. But he didn't dare touch him further until Lancelot leaned forward into his hold. Lancelot's deep brown eyes were swimming with tears as Arthur ran a thumb across his bottom lip, and then Lancelot was surging up to meet him as Arthur bent to kiss him, and the way their lips collided was awkward and misaligned, but also warm, genuine, heartfelt, and everything else the shade that had worn Lancelot's face had been incapable of being. Arthur cupped Lancelot's face between his hands and eagerly opened his mouth as Lancelot deepened the kiss, both pressing closer with a desperation to be touching as much of each other as possible, to ground themselves in their presence. Arthur could feel Gwen pressed equally close, a hand beneath his doublet on his lower back, and he scarce turned his head before he found Gwen's lips as well, and she and Lancelot were caught in an equally passionate kiss of their own. Then they were all three trading kisses and caresses, heated and tender by turns, and murmuring reassurances and promises between breaths. A knock sounded at the door. The reunited lovebirds took no notice. Merlin, still face down in the comforter and disinclined to move, simply waved a hand in the vague direction of the door, which swung open, and toward the table, upon which the servant who entered deposited the tray of mugs they bore while very determinedly seeing nothing but their own feet as they crossed the room, and then bowed out in rapid succession. Reluctantly, Merlin did haul himself off the bed to fetch the drinks before they went cold. Drained his own mug, the hot milk and honey sweet and soothing with a hint of cinnamon, before bringing the rest of the tray back to the bedside table, and repeatedly clearing his throat for attention. Lancelot was the first to take notice, and he reached to accept a steaming mug with a word of thanks for Merlin, but recoiled with a gasp, leaving a smear of blood on the side of the mug. Their lover suddenly going rigid with pain between them brought Arthur and Gwen crashing back to awareness as well. While Merlin ducked away to grab his satchel of medical supplies, Arthur steadied Lancelot and Gwen seized his wrist to keep him from instinctively clutching the hand and causing any more damage. When Merlin returned and gently uncurled his fingers, with Gwen still holding the hand steady by the wrist, was to reveal a gash running diagonally across the full width of the heel of his palm, the proportions of it still slowly seeping blood. Lancelot paled at the sight.
That doesn't look good, he said in a thin voice. When did...
Merlin knelt before him for a better look, dabbing away as much blood as possible with a damp scrap of bandage. When you fumbled your sword out of your belt in the council chamber earlier, your hand slipped on the blade, and you must not have noticed in all the commotion. He inspected the wound closely, tilting it toward the candle's light. It's not as bad as it might have been. It's a clean slice and really not all that deep for most of it. With most of the blood cleared away, it did look less dramatic, and Merlin pressed a wad of bandages against the still welling section that's to stem the flow. There's only a couple places that will need a few stitches. Slot shuddered slightly at that, and Gwen made a soothing noise and rubbed his shoulder reassuringly. We'll have it over as quick as we can. She took over from Merlin, holding pressure against the wound, and raised Lancelot's hand to his shoulder as Merlin laid out curled needle, holder, thread, scissors, salve, and bandages ready for use. Ready? Lancelot reluctantly nodded. Arthur wrapped his arms around his chest and waist and pulled him close, so Lancelot was held securely, practically in his lap. Gwen stretched his arm out to the side to hold his hand out of Lancelot's line of sight. First thing Merlin did was hold a basin beneath Lancelot's hand, sluice water from the ewer across the wound repeatedly to fully clean it, which had Lancelot pressing his lips tight together to suppress a shout of pain. Instead, all that came out was a muffled whimper. Arthur held him more tightly and pressed a kiss to the back of his neck. In comparison, the actual stitches, apart from the initial sharp prick of the needle, were a dully unpleasant tugging sensation. Unpleasant, but endurable. Far from the worst Lancelot had suffered in the course of his various injuries over the years, but a sensation he was keen to have over as soon as possible, nevertheless. Merlin was swiftly efficient in his suturing, and was soon spreading a layer of salve thickly around the finished stitches before winding a bandage in a figure of eight around both hand and wrist to protect the stitches and shallower, still open section of the wound. Gwen took over the last of the bandaging and tucked in the end of the bandage securely, and bent her head to press a feather-light kiss to the bandages over the junction of wrist and palm. Arthur loosened his hold from restraining to simply comforting. Lancelot finally released the breath he'd been holding in a trembling sigh. Ordeal over, Merlin set aside his suture kit to retrieve the tray of abandoned mugs. Steam with the aroma of cinnamon began rising from the contents again as he handed them around. Arthur accepted Lancelot's mug for him, and helped to steady it as Lancelot sipped at the soothingly warm contents. Once Lancelot had finished his drink and subsided into sleepy languor between his partners once more, Merlin gathered the empty mugs and his things and made as though to leave. Merlin, Gwen turned to fix him with the full force of her well-practiced, disappointed by your stupid decisions, elder sister look. You were knocked unconscious, if you've forgotten. You are not going to go sleep alone and unsupervised in your room. Arthur's bemoaning at having to find a new manservant would be nothing compared to mine at having to find a new best friend. Merlin waved a hand dismissively. Tad worse, and the potion earlier took care of the headache. I'll be fine. Regardless, I don't think any of us want to be separated tonight, so you're staying. Despite his blasé protest, Merlin sagged in relief and tossed his jacket back over the back of a chair. Lancelot had cringed even further at the reminder of the shade's actions. I'm sorry. He recoiled like a puppy with a trodden-on paw, cradling his injured hand to complete the picture. If I caused... If Merlin had any lingering reservations about intruding, that put paid to them. Oh, Lance, no! He stood between Lancelot's knees and wrapped his arms around the downcast knight's shoulders. No one's blaming you for things the Shade did that you had no control over. None of that was you. We all know you'd never willingly harm us.
Gwen knelt on the bed and embraced Lancelot from behind. Besides, Merlin forgave me for knocking him over the head with a ewer to keep him from killing Arthur that time Merlin was mind-controlled by Morgana, and no one blamed Merlin for the assassination attempts, she said, as though this explained everything.
Not for very long, anyway, qualified Arthur.
Lancelot was jolted from a spiral of self-recrimination.
What?
Merlin snorted. Long story. I'll tell you when you're not about to fall asleep sitting up. He rubbed Lancelot's back as Lancelot shivered with a lingering chill, even sandwiched between two warm bodies. Eager for something he could do that didn't involve struggling to find the right words of comfort, Arthur went to his wardrobe to rummage for suitable nightclothes for Lancelot to change into. All the out-of-season winter ones were shoved to the back, but Arthur thought Lancelot would benefit from the added warmth. In Merlin's expectant look, Arthur rolled his eyes and tossed him a shirt as well.
I've run out of sleep shirts. I hope you're not also planning to join our marriage bed.
Merlin pulled a face.
Thanks, but no. I'll leave that to the three of you.
Besides, I'm sure I'll be too busy consoling Leon when his best friend and his baby brother have just gotten married. He was misty-eyed enough when you announced the betrothal.
And someone has to help Elion realize the full pranking potential being brother-in-law to the king holds.
Arthur laughed as expected, but before returning to the bed, he drew Merlin aside with a serious expression. Merlin, he placed a hand on his shoulder earnestly. I know I probably don't say it enough, and in this case I could never say it enough, but thank you. For myself, Guinevere, Lancelot, all three of us. I don't know how you know half the things that you seem to, but I'm glad you do.
Right. Merlin cleared his throat awkwardly. You're welcome?
Right then. Arthur nodded with finality and picked up the shirt he'd retrieved.
Gwen gently manhandled Lancelot off of the black shirt his shade had been clothed in, and replaced it with the nightshirt Arthur handed her. It was thick flannel, washed soft and faded from its original red to a pale rose pink, as opposite a garment as it was possible to get from the shade's clothing now heaped on the floor. Pulling it over his head left Lancelot's hair mussed and falling into his face, dispelling the last vestige of Morgana's influence on his appearance.
Gwen smoothed down a cowlick, her silver bangle grazing Lancelot's jaw as she trailed her hand down to cup his cheek. Lancelot noticed the bracelet Gwen still wore and frowned.
It's hazy, but there's something. I think it bears some sort of enchantment. I think it
blanched in horror again as he dredged up some partial recollection.
It's supposed to make you fall in love with me.
Strangely, Arthur's expression brightened at this.
Oh, that would explain why you, the shade, never gave me one then.
Well, it can't cause something that's already happened. If that were the plan, the shade was a couple years too late to have any role in it. I think we've established that Morgana made some significant miscalculations with the gaps in her knowledge. Gwen squeezed Lancelot's unwounded hand reassuringly.
And it doesn't seem to have caused offense with the Forge Cat, Gwen shot Merlin a pointed look. So there can't be any lingering influence of the shade or Morgana on it, but...
She slid the bangle from her wrist and set it aside.
I don't think I'll be keeping it all the same, since it wasn't really from you.
He looked a little rueful.
I didn't like to say anything when I thought you'd given it to me, but I could do better myself. The casing is rather clumsy for the style, and I don't think the hallmark is truthful about the grade of silver. It really...
She bit her lip self-consciously to cut off the beginnings of a technical treatise and giggled at Lancelot and Arthur's matching looks of besotted bemusement. Though with the way Lancelot was leaning increasingly heavily against Arthur's shoulder, he was edging more towards stupefied sleepiness. He further reinforced that impression when he opened his mouth, and all that came out was a jaw-cracking yawn.
All right, into bed with all of us, Gwen said around a yawn of her own. Anything else can wait to be dealt with in the morning. Like postponing our wedding so we can all sleep in. And I'll need to sketch up a design for a third ring. Something subtle. That is, if... Her propensity for nervous natter carried on, coaxing even a small, fond chuckle from Lancelot.
He tugged her sleeve. Bed. You're right. It'll be time enough for us to discuss such things. But right now... All I want is to hold you close and only dream of them. Arthur forestalled any further ramblings from either with a chaste kiss each and lifted the edge of the blankets for them to climb under. Merlin had already claimed the far left side of the bed for himself, along with a sizable portion of the blankets. They maneuvered Lancelot into the center of the bed, Gwen to his left, sandwiched between him and Merlin, and Arthur as a bulwark to the outside on his right. Gwen reclaimed more of the blankets from Merlin's grasp to be sure Arthur had enough, and snuggled down into them, her head resting on Lancelot's chest to hear his heartbeat, and Merlin curled close behind her,
slightly higher on the pillows, to reach over her head and loosely tangle a hand in Lancelot's hair.
"Merlin, your knees are awfully bony," Gwen grumbled into Lancelot's nightshirt collar.
She reached across Lancelot's waist to grope for Arthur's hand.
"Arthur, don't you let him steal enough food off your plate."
Arthur grumbled inarticulately from where he'd plastered himself completely flush against Lancelot's other side, legs tangled with his and possibly in danger of suffocating in the pillows by the sound of it. The only intelligible word that emerged from the goose down was sleep. Lancelot lay comfortably ensconced and slightly smothered in the most comforting of manners between the very palpable love of his bedfellows. He snaked one arm between Gwen and Merlin's chest to curl in a half-embrace around her back. Gwen nuzzled again at his collar. The other was curled against his chest, half-pinned by Arthur's warm bulk as he cuddled it like a stuffed toy, careful, even at the edge of sleep, to avoid Lancelot's wounded hand. Gwen and Arthur's opposite hands were joined over his belly, and Merlin still idly toyed with his hair, faint scritch of his nails lulling Lancelot finally into peaceful sleep, warm and lovingly encompassed. The last thing he felt before he slipped off was the feather-light press of lips from either side, and whispered,
I love you,
in harmony.